So if I drop something, don't be upset with me too.
I'm not going to be upset.
I got my glasses here, and I'll probably take them on and off because I can't see y'all when I have them on, and I can't read if I don't have them on. And my memory's not that great, and so I need to read things in order to make sure that what I'm saying is the right thing and the truth, because if we have anything here this morning, it's going to come from the Lord. It's got to come from the Lord if it's going to be of any value. Otherwise, it'll just be vain and empty and talking that you probably don't want to hear anyway. but I ask for your prayers this morning. I stand in need of them always. I'm fearful to stand here because of the good Lord that we serve, and what it means to serve Him, and what it means, what He's done for me, and all the good things that He's done for me, and to want to tell you about them in a way that you can understand them. Again, that's not going to come from me. That's going to be of the Lord, through the Lord. It's going to be from the Lord to me. It's going to be from the Lord to you. There's not going to be any hearing or any interaction of anything that's going to be positive that doesn't come from the Lord. That's where all good things that we have in this life come from. That's where everything that we have comes from. That's where our natural life comes from. That's where our spiritual life comes from. That's where our eternal life has come from. We've been given grace. That's where grace comes from. That's where faith comes from. All of those things necessary to understand that, that's where they come from. So again, I don't want to take up too much of your time, brother. I'll read some scripture here and speak on it briefly and then try to be moving along, but pray for me. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 6. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him."
Amen.
"For He careth for you."
Oh boy.
"Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." How do we humble ourselves? Well, we have to recognize who we are.
Yeah.
And that's nothing.
Yeah, pretty quick.
We could assign a zero. If we could assign a number value to it, it would be a zero.
Yeah.
All day. A zero added to a zero is a zero. A zero times a zero is a zero. If we have zero and I give you 100% more of that zero, it's a zero. And brethren, by ourselves, who we are, left to us, as we are, as we stand, we're a zero. And that may sound terrible this morning, but I'm going to tell you that with God, we are everything, because that's where everything has come from, because it says, humble yourselves, therefore, we're humble under the what? The mighty hand of God, the all-powerful God, who has delivered us from the before the foundation of the world. He saw us, he loved us, he had a care for us, he had a knowledge of us, he knew our names, he knew us all. And when we think about that in its entirety, that's not just who we have here in this building, that is all of God's people, the whole world over. God has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. That's not what just is here in this house today, but that is in this country, that is in other countries. There are people that have never, ever even heard the name that belonged to him. They are his people. They're his people. That means the whole world over. Sometimes we feel we get down, we get despaired because we feel like maybe we're the only ones. But brethren, I'm going to tell you, we're not the only ones. We're the ones that have heard it. Thank the Lord, we've been blessed to hear. We have a place here that the good Lord has given us here in the United States of America this morning in Fauquier County, but also in Front Royal. Also in other places, the Lord has established a church here where the truth is preached. Where the church doors are open and we can come and we are free to worship freely. The good Lord has provided us that, but it has not strictly belonged to us. It is His.
Amen.
And He's given it to whomever He's seen fit to give it to. And that's the glory. The beauty of it is that we've been able to see it here this morning. So we humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We have so many things that we're bringing with us all the time. So many things that we, if we don't humble ourselves, we have this pride that we can handle, we can do it. And we do that from the time we get up in the morning until the time we go to bed in the evening. For the most part, we have things on our list that we just feel like we have to do, that we have to get done. And God is, unfortunately for me, sometimes I felt like God is something I do on the weekend. I'll get with God on Sunday. But Monday, boy, the fire is going to hit me in the face, and I'm going to have to deal with all these problems. I'm going to have to deal with how I'm going to get to here. And the realization and the fact of the matter is we have the ability to deal with nothing because we're zeros.
Right.
We don't have value. We can't carry a burden. So we humble ourselves and we cast all our care upon God. Why? Because He cares for us.
Yeah, He's it.
He knows us. He's loved us. He already, you want to know, brother, He already knows we a bunch of zeros. And He loved us anyway. That's the great part about it, is that He knew we were a zero. He knew we brought nothing to the table. He knew we added no value, and yet He loved us, and He loved us enough to send His Son, made His Son flesh, and sent us here to die on the cross for an eternity of sin that we could never pay. The amount of sin I have just on my own. I don't need to talk about your sin this morning. I know what I've done in 49 years of walking this earth. I know the direction I've been in. I know the times that if I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be standing here today. And neither would you, little girl. I'm telling you the truth, baby. Isn't it good to cast all your care upon Him, for He cared for you? That's a big thing. But I want us to be careful. We need to be sober. That means we need to be in the right mind. We need to be thinking. We need to be vigilant. We need to be aware. Why? Because your adversary, the devil is real. It's a real thing. This strife, this discontent, the devil, the father of lies, he's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, because that's what he's looking to do.
Right.
He's looking to sow that discontent. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, we are to resist him steadfast in the faith.
Amen.
How do we resist steadfast in the faith? We've been given faith. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
We need to exercise that faith. We need to use that faith. How do we use that faith? Through prayer. Through turning it over, humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, please help me because I can't do it on my own. Lord, help me. Lord, keep me. Stay in the Word. What does the Word say? Follow the Word. Delight in the law of the Lord. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And sometimes walking in the counsel of the ungodly is following your own will. It's doing what you want to do instead of what the Word says to do. And we think we're right. So many times we think we're right because we have this worldly knowledge that we've been given from the time we hit kindergarten to the time we graduate school, whatever level that is, we think we've got it all figured out. When that's the ways of this world, that's the education of this world. And I will tell you that education changes. The words in the dictionary in the 1860s don't mean the same thing that they mean in the dictionary now. But the Word of God has been the same from the time it was penned, and it's never changed and will never change.
Amen.
It will stand firm from the beginning to the end. I'm going to flip over and I'm going to read a scripture. I'm going to get out of the way, Brother John. I didn't say where I wanted to stay. I just want to tell you how great a God we serve. I want to tell you how good he's been to us and how much he's done for us and what we ought to be doing. If we're doing what we ought to be doing is studying his word and finding out what God's will is and then doing our very best with what he's given us, the faith he's given us and the grace he's shown us. We ought to be doing the very best with that to walk as close to him as we possibly can. And when we trust, when we delight in the, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he shines on our way.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. I saw this verse, I just love it, and I hope I'll leave it with you. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God.
Amen.
That, brethren, is the God we serve.
Amen.
We like to set up a bunch of little gods and we like to serve them. We like to, but we do that. We craft them. There's a whole chapter there. I could go on. But we craft them. We build them. Let's not do that.
Amen.
Let's remember the true God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's do our best to remember. He will. He will be remembered. He will have his glory.
Amen.
He will. When you have a mind, pray. Please pray for me. God bless you. Thank you, Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
before you. To my mom's good morning to those I hadn't spoken to. It's good to see you all. It's good to be here, and I've enjoyed that which I've heard. So let's continue to pray for Brother Jimmy. Hope the Lord bless you. Continue to just look to him. He'll carry you through. Okay. I did have a couple of thoughts on my mind this morning, and I find myself caught between the two. As much as I try to get away from it, I can't, so I guess I'll go with the one I can't get out, the one I can't seem to get away from. That's in the book of Samuel. And it's talking his little sister Hannah.
Yeah. Preaching.
For some reason I just can't she won't let me go. Or the Lord won't let me go on this. You know, I think it was last week at Happy Creek we talked about Hannah.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it again this week, and for those who didn't hear last week, Hannah is the Samuel's mother, Samuel the prophet. So we're in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah had asked one thing of the Lord. She had asked that the Lord would, to go back. Hannah was barren, she couldn't have kids, but her husband had two wives. The other wife had kids, and the second wife would torment her all the time because she couldn't. So Hannah had prayed and asked one thing of the Lord, that if he would bless her with a man-child, then she would give that man-child unto the Lord, to serve the Lord all of his life. She did that. And but that's all that she asked of the Lord. Now, chapter 2 there, Hannah prays. She also prays in chapter 1, but we don't know exactly what she said, except that what she had revealed to Eli, the prophet that was there. But this prayer, God purposed that it would be written in Scripture. So we get to hear in chapter 2, those first verses, exactly what Hannah prayed. And my life has been enriched by this little sister's prayer.
Amen.
You know, you think of prayer, and you think of God's children, and we think of the prophets, and you think of the disciples, and all those who have written had written Scripture, and Apostle Paul, and all of those. But Hannah is just the little Lamb of God, who, as you read her prayer, God has blessed this little sister with an understanding probably far greater than some of the religious leaders of that time. I just like to read that prayer under your hearing. And as you hear this prayer, just remember that Hannah is just like any one of us. God can enable and bless one of his little children, however it might be pleasing in his sight. It doesn't matter what their office or status is, but he can bless them to understand far greater than many of the religious scholars. A simple truth and understanding as to who God really is. And he blessed this little sister Hannah with such an understanding. Now Hannah prays after she had gone, she had weaned Samuel. She had taken Samuel the prophet Eli there, and she had given them to the Lord, and she left them there to forever serve the Lord. And after she had done that, she prayed this prayer. chapter 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." Now Hannah had been given a child. God had answered her prayer. God had delivered her from the torment and anguish that she had been experiencing for a number of years. We don't know how many, the scripture doesn't tell us how many years that was. We have no idea how long it was. But if you think about the woman with the issue, the sister with the issue, who had that issue for 12 years, she tried everything that she could think of, but nothing cured her of that issue until the Lord came along. And that sister heard of the Lord and said within her heart, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. I will be healed of this issue." And after she had done that, the Lord spoke of what faith she had. Hannah had faith in believing and trusting in the Lord our God. And she kept that vow that she had made, that she did not want this child for herself. She wanted that child to show that the love that she had for God would be manifested in a natural way, that she would no longer be barren, that she would be able to have a child. And that child, she didn't want it for herself, but she would give it unto the Lord. And so when she says here that my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, the Lord had delivered her from her anguish and blessed her with great joy. Great joy. When we as God's little children today, and we're blessed to petition the Lord for whatever it might be going on in our lives, when the Lord answers that prayer,
yeah, what a blessing.
What a joy and blessing that is.
Like a dream.
But we, brethren, must always remember, as Hannah did here, that when we rejoice in those things, that we give all praise and all glory and honor to the Lord.
Amen.
Our God. When we pray a prayer and we seek the Lord to deliver us in whatever it might be in life, it should always be with the understanding, brethren, that it's not by our might, it's not by our will, but it's by the power of the Lord our God.
That's right.
If I can fix my open my water bottle here. Okay. That we're delivered. I mean, so often we can petition the Lord, he delivers us, and it becomes all about us. It becomes all about us, and we forget the source of that deliverance.
Amen.
Now, Hannah knew that she couldn't have children. And she knew that the only way that she could would be if the God of heaven would bless her with a child. And in that blessing, brethren, Hannah realizes the power, the might, but also the love that God has for her. And brethren, when he delivers us, it is a demonstration of that same love that he has for us as his dear children. As Brother Jimmy was talking about who we are by nature. You know, and Brother Gary mentioned that, you know, God has chosen a people.
Amen.
We did not choose God.
Amen.
That's right.
He chose us.
He chose us.
Amen.
If we have a love of God in our hearts, it's only because he first loved us.
Right.
And he overshadowed us with the love that he has for us that enables us, brethren, to love him. Otherwise, there would be no love going on in this meeting house.
No, sir.
If it had not been from the love in which God had loved us individually, as his children, and collectively as his bride, as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Hannah goes on here, he says, I'm just going to read this. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God.
Amen.
Now, I was just going to read all of this.
You got to.
You know, when we realize, brethren, that there is no rock like our God. Man, who is
right.
that? Think about that. But think about the rock. Okay, think about, the psalmist writes about the rock. And you know, the rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about that rock, brethren, what would we be in life without that rock? There's nothing, there's no foundation in a natural way in this world that has any substance whatsoever that is everlasting and eternal. There's nothing that we experience in this life, brethren, that is not fleeting, and as Solomon would put it, it's all vanity.
That's right.
But brethren, in the Lord, we have a rock, we have a foundation that is secure, that is solid, and it is forever lasting. Not only are we able to enjoy that rock while we're here, not only are we able to be dependent upon that rock, and to depend on that rock to deliver us in a timely sense, but that rock is going to be there.
That's right.
Forevermore.
Amen.
That same rock is going to be there when you call home the glory. That same rock, just like he did Brother Stephen, is going to be standing there to receive you when you come home to glory. You see, brethren, God's little children don't leave this world alone. I don't care if they're in a dungeon somewhere where there's no human beings there. They don't leave this world alone. And they don't live in or abide in this world alone either. Because of that rock and that promise that rock made to all of his own, that I will be with you always, even throughout the end of time. It says, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed.
Huh.
No, be it, brethren, we can easily be arrogant. Sometimes our natural life circumstances make us feel like we need to be arrogant in order to survive, in order to cope, in order to appease those that we might be around. You know, that verse that you read about humility. There is no class in being humble. There is no humility 101 doesn't exist. Humility is a gift from God. You know, brethren, the old prophet says that we are to walk humbly before thy God. You can only walk humbly if you have been blessed with an understanding, and that understanding is revealed to you by the Spirit of the living God. And that understanding that is revealed to you is who you are or who we are by nature. Brother Jimmy put it as a zero. The prophet puts it as filthy rags. You see, brethren, because God looks in town down upon us with his righteous judgment. We have no righteousness in and of ourselves. In fact, God describes any righteousness that we would have to offer up to him, he would consider it as filthy rags.
Amen.
That's what Scripture tells.
Yep.
But the righteousness in which those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock, when God looks down upon them, he sees the righteousness of his Son.
Amen.
That finished work on Calvary's cross. You see, because Jesus was righteous, Jesus was faithful, even to the death on the cross, that he came to this world to redeem a people unto God, to die for you, to die and pay the sin debt that we add to every single breath of our moment of our lives. We continually add to that sin debt. There is no possibility, no way at all that as we journey this land, as we breathe air in this land, we are sinful creatures by nature. We will always be sinful creatures by nature. The only hope that we have is that Jesus became sin for us.
Amen.
And in doing that, he put upon himself all the sin debt of all of those that God gave to him in the covenant of grace even before time was.
Right.
So your sin debt has been paid by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Which is why God can look down upon us that have been redeemed by that blood and deem us to be holy, to be justified, and to be righteous in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. Not because of anything that we have done at all, but because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it isn't that a marvel? Think about it. You think about it. That, you think about that. Before God created this world, right? He knew that he would create Adam in his own image. He knew that. He also knew that Adam was going to fall. That was not a surprise to God. Now somebody said, well, why did he suffer Adam to fall? See, God didn't make Adam fall. God gave Adam a choice. Adam chose to disobey. And God had already told Adam, the day you do that, Adam, you shall surely die. But what did that devil who roars about like a what did he say? Oh, you will surely die.
Right.
God really didn't mean it that way. You know, but he did. You see, and that same lie that the devil told Eve in the garden is the same lie that he tells you, that he tells me, the same lie that he tells us all of the time, which is why the Apostle Paul says, even when we're blessed to do good, evil is always present. Because that devil, as long as you're in this clay tabernacle, which means as long as you're living and breathing air, he's going to be about you. Trying to deceive you. Trying to get you to believe that. Did God really say that? Are you sure he really said that? Or did he mean this instead? He's a deceiver. He's not gonna try to snatch the entire truth from you. What is he going to do? He's going to take a little bit of that truth and just to try to just twist it just a little bit to get you to doubt. And once doubt creeps in, once that uncertainty creeps in, then we become prey. But you see, brethren, there is no uncertainty in the Word of God. God is not the author of confusion.
No, he isn't.
He will not confuse you. If you feel confused, it is the devil at work.
Yeah.
He is the confuser.
right.
He is a liar. He's been that way from the beginning. And we go on and he says here, whoa. when you get home, finish reading that prayer. I just don't want to breeze through it, so in order, let me just jump down to verse 19 or 18.
Okay.
But the prayer is important, so please read that, and maybe Brother John will get a chance later, some other time to do that. Verse 18 says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen, ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now understand what Hannah did here now, okay? She gave him up to the Lord, to be the Lord's. She did not neglect being a mother.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
It's her child. So each year she would make him a new coat. And each year when she went up, she would make this and bring it to him. Even though she had given him unto the Lord. And he says here, and Eli blessed Ephani and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. Now understand what happened here, okay? Hannah didn't ask the Lord for anything except one man's child.
Right.
And that she would give that man child unto the Lord.
Right.
And then she faithfully, each year, she made him a little coat and she bought it up and gave him that coat.
Beautiful.
She didn't ask for anything.
Nope.
She was faithful. And when you read that, when you get home and you read that prayer, you can understand not only the depth and magnitude that she understood the Lord and who God was, but the way she explains this in her prayer, Brennan, it's beyond a lot of our understandings as to the depth of our understanding and knowledge. And so Eli the prophet blessed him, right? And so the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bear three sons and two daughters. And Samuel grew before the Lord. So Hannah was blessed with three more sons and two daughters. Five more kids Hannah was blessed with. She didn't ask for it.
Nope.
But you see, Paul writes, he says that that the Lord is able to give us exceedingly more.
Exceedingly abundantly more.
And abundantly more than we can think or ask.
Exceedingly.
But you see, when you see what Paul had written, and you see what God had did for Hannah back in the Old Testament law era, you have an understanding, brethren, as to how abundantly God blesses his children as they journey in this world. She asked for but one child. He gave her six. Do the math. Do the math. She was unable to have any children at all. But yet God opened her womb and blessed her with Samuel. She prayed this lovely prayer. And she was faithful as a mother to bring her child a coat every year. And God blessed her beyond her imagination with five more children. And that was through his praise. And that was through his glory. You see, brethren, all times we, as God's children, we get caught up into the natural things. And we begin to expect as though we're deserving of these things that we expect. The only thing that we're deserving of, brethren, is a place called hell.
Yeah, that's true.
That is the only thing that we have paid for. That is the only thing that we continue to add to our accounts. You think about investments, right? You want to retire one day, so you want to put a little bit aside to as an investment. So when you get to the retirement age, you have this nice little nest egg, okay? In the eyes of God, brethren, we continually add to our sin account. You know, we there's no way we could ever pay that, you know, see, because we're always adding to it. And that's just who we are by nature, you see. But when you think about the love of God and the depth of that love, and when you think about that God knowing who we were, I mean, Scripture tells us that He looked down upon mankind. He saw none righteous. No, none one. There's none that understood. There's none that sought God. We didn't have a desire at all for the things of God. And God knowing all these things, brethren, He still purposed to have a people of His own.
Amen.
And you see, brethren, when we think about that, and we think about all that we add to our account, can you begin to even imagine, just think about yourselves. Can you think of, even begin to imagine that the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, He became sin. Think about that.
Wow.
He became sin. And for Him to become sin, that means He took upon your sin debt. Not just the ones you've committed up to this point, but everyone that you will commit before you go home to be with the Lord.
Yep.
He took upon not only yours, but He took upon the sin debt of a multitude that no man can number. He took it upon Himself. Can you imagine that? I can't even imagine my own. Not alone a multitude that no man can number, but Lord Jesus Christ did exactly that.
Yes, He did.
He became sin for us, for you, for me, and for all those that God gave Him.
Amen.
In a covenant of grace, even before times. And He did that to the praise and to the honor and to the glory of the Lord our God. Blessed be.
Amen. 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 Jesus paid it all. What number? 140.
Hey, brother. Good. Good.